GM, are we going to have Pedro join us as well? Or is it just you guys?
Yeah, I invited Pedro. Let's see if he can request. Pedro, you there?
People are excited, man. Look at the emojis flying off here in the space. We already got 150 people in here.
Damn, everyone's like,
go.
It's a good day. What's Pedro's username here on Twitter?
Denounce. It's the M guy.
Oh, okay.
Hey, Zion, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, while we get them up, maybe I just had a couple of things maybe I can say to kick things off.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, I've been trying to think about how to say this, but I feel like people are starting to believe again, maybe. and I can start to feel a little momentum building for a lot of different reasons. And before things get away from us, and I hope things get away from us, I want to acknowledge a couple of things. And sorry if I'm being kind of like, this is going to be a little weepy and emotional. And I think I got about 2 hours of sleep last night because of the jet lag. So it probably won't be as precise as I would have hoped it to be. But man, it has been... I think intellectually, everyone understands how challenging it has been to lose Doe and to carry this thing forward without him. I've been a wartime CEO before. I've taken over from a founder, but this is just on a completely different level. And anyone who's had a job or worked at a startup or worked at any kind of company can imagine that there were a lot of different paths to TFL falling apart when Doe left. And it just didn't. It didn't. We didn't lose a single person that mattered. And so, before we get into all of the bullish stuff that's going on and where we're headed, I just want to thank the team at TFL for sticking with me and giving me confidence to take over and for being resilient like Doe was and like our community is and like our ecosystem is. So first and foremost, I just want to acknowledge all of you guys and tell you guys I love you. Second, the community. I felt like kind of good that my coworkers would help me. Wasn't sure what to expect from the community because I know how much everyone loves Doe and he's the one who brought everyone in and he's the one who brought me in. You know, I agonized over that Cosmoverse presentation because I needed to present a vision moving forward that was true to you guys, true to Terra, but also something that I personally was capable of accomplishing. And frankly, there are just certain things that Doe can do that I can't, right? And I had to come to terms with that through that process. But I want to thank all of you as well for accepting me in this role. And as this excitement starts to build, I just want you guys to know that I love you as well. And I feed off of your support. And thank you. We've got a long way to go to get redemption. My objective is just to make the Terra brand something you're proud of again. And we're making steps in that direction. We've got a lot of work to do. Anyway, before we get into all the bullish fun stuff, I just wanted to make those two points. I won't make them again. Thank you all. I appreciate everything. Let's go get that redemption. But anyway, I'll pass it back over to you now, Zion. Thank you all.
No, that was fantastic. Thanks for sharing that, Chris. And I think the Terra ecosystem is really starting to gain some momentum. I think it's pretty tangible at this point. A lot of really exciting stuff to come, you know, even before we round this year out. But I think 2024 is going to be a great year for us. And I'm really looking forward to working alongside all of you lunatics in that process. Today, we've got a few of the new team members here at TFL that are joining from Pulsar. These are the founders of Pulsar Finance, which TFL just acquired yesterday. If you haven't seen that announcement, you can check that out. It's pinned to the top of our Twitter account. We outline the acquisition, some of the things that, some of the initial things that Pulsar is going to be working on in collaboration with our team, in particular Station V3 and Foundation. But maybe a good place to start this space would be just with you guys, Miguel, Eduardo, Pedro, introducing yourselves to the Terra community and maybe sharing a little bit about your story, you know, how you got into crypto and maybe the story of how Pulsar got started. Miguel, do you want to kick things off?
I can kick things on, yeah. So it all started a few years ago, maybe 7 years, if I'm not mistaken. I started to work with Pedro and Eduardo to build our first online businesses. We had quite a success. We built multiple ones, but then we were kind of bored with it. After a while, we started to see what was happening in crypto. Everyone around us was super excited with these new investments they were making. And we picked up on some of the revenue that we were making from the business, and we started to invest. Funny thing, we invested on the peak of the bull market, 2017. So that was not the best investment ever, but we stuck around. We watched Ethereum implode at that time. And then in 2020, we got back in during the DeFi summer to see what was happening. It was so crazy. All these things were happening. We started to deploy all our resources into investing in researching about all these different projects. We found about Luna. We found about all these different chains. But the problem was we didn't have any good portfolio tracker to manage our balances. So that was quite a disappointment, since in the TradFi world, you have asset managers that help you guide all your investments. You can have P&L for all your assets. But then at some point, we just said, we're tired of this, like managing everything from a spreadsheet, manual inputs. So let's just build something that's really cool for this community. And that also gives us exposure and utility to our own lives. So we started with a problem. We came, we pitched it to Delphi Digital, and 2 years afterwards, here we are with one of the best portfolio trackers in the space. And we always try to cater to the community needs, not only what's happening, new projects launching, new tokens launching. The goal was to have at least the best experience a portfolio could give, because crypto is quite messy, and everyone has their own standards, their own names. And there's vaults, there's pools, there's farms, there's loans. There's so many things happening that we just wanted to create like a standard, simple UI that people didn't feel lost while managing things. We wanted to build something that could help simple, normie users like me, my uncle, who also invested, to manage their assets. And that was our mission. And that's how we started. That's how we got here. And we are super excited to join the TFL crew and to help build these amazing products, and that will lead the way for the next wave of users.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that, Miguel. Pedro, Eduardo, would you guys like to speak on kind of your journey and how you guys ended up here working with the team at Pulsar?
Yeah, of course. But as Miguel was saying, like we were working before for a couple of years. I actually know Miguel since I was a kid. Like we met, I believe I was
Eduardo. Connection currently on hotel Wi-Fi, which isn't great.
No, we can hear Eduardo fine, I believe.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, it's that Twitter issue then again, where like, okay, hosts can't hear Okay, well, just go ahead, Eduardo, and just I guess talk, and I'll just. Once you're muted, I'll just assume that you're done speaking. I'm not sure what this issue is, but like sometimes this happens with Twitter where like you have someone on the panel speaking and then the host can't hear them, but other people in the space can. So apologies for that. Keep going.
Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you. Go ahead.
Nice. As Miguel was saying, like our history goes a long way. I actually know Miguel since I was around 12. Pedro was later in my life. I met him while in college, but we all always shared like a very big entrepreneurial spirit. We remember, like, even before college, I was working with Miguel, creating websites, like thinking about future businesses that we would be doing together. And it's obviously something that takes time, and we were very, very early at that time, so we didn't have as much as success as we wanted as kids. But like later in college, we started doing a lot of projects, and the success just came bigger and bigger. We're very, very glad to have the opportunity to work with you guys at TFL. I think the mission we have is amazing. The potential we have to build better user experiences, better developer experiences for Web3 is amazing. I think we're really going to nail this, and I'm really eager to, really excited to see what's to come.
Maybe yeah, Pedro can so, also... yeah, can you guys hear me fine?
Hey, yeah, I can hear you now. Sorry, I had to drop off for a minute there.
Okay.
Just to fix the issue.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Okay, nice. It's not echoing anymore?
No, it's better now.
Okay. So yeah, so pretty much as Miguel and Eduardo said, I guess we, us three, kind of share the same story. We pretty much started like building together. I mean, when I found these guys, well, I already met them before, but they were kind of working on a business. And I happened to join in and help them. Obviously they couldn't do it without me. So, that's why I had to step in. But in any case, yeah. As Miguel said, like we kind of had our successes. We ended up like just having our first take at crypto end up very badly, just eating and investing on the bull market. And then, yeah, when we joined back in 2021 and we started having issues, like actually, well, now we're investing again, everything is going all right, but why is it so complex for us? Why are we doing sheets? Why there's no coverage? What's going on here? So that's when we saw an opportunity. And yeah, I guess, yeah, 2 years later, here we are. Couldn't be happier to actually just, yeah, joining Terra. That's where we started. That's where we ended, at least right now. And hopefully, like, it never ends. Hopefully, there's, like, a bright future. And, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing your guys' stories. You know, I think we're all really excited for Pulsar to join the TFL team. Chris, maybe you want to talk a little bit about what this acquisition means for the future of TFL.
Yeah. You know, this all started when I saw a deck from the Pulsar team for a fundraise. And, you know, for those of you who don't know, like prior to joining TFL, I had a software company. I was the CEO of a software company. So obviously as a CEO, very involved in product. The company that bought us was a much larger platform, and I was the head of product there as well. But when you join TFL, there's only one head of product, and that's Doe, right? And so it was not my job to be involved on that front or be involved in product development at all. My job was just to handle all the stuff that he didn't want to do so that he could shine and that so he could drive forward the product vision. And so when he left, I had to get up to speed very quickly. And as I did that, the one thing that I ran up against every single time I wanted to build a product in a way that it was going to be useful and intuitive and, well, just like the type of applications you use in your everyday life, with crypto principles embedded inside of it every single time. The constraint that I ran into was some kind of version of infrastructure or indexers. And it was incredibly frustrating. And that's where like the idea for the project foundation, for the product foundation came from. It's like, well, we need to build all of our own infrastructure and indexers, and we need to make those available to all of the people who are building on Terra so that they can also build incredible applications. And I was running up against this and learning this lesson the hard way in real time when I got the investor deck for Pulsar. And I obviously knew Pulsar because they do have the best portfolio tracker in crypto, hands down. But I hadn't connected the dots on the amount of work they would have had to have done to make it so great, right? The amount of like infrastructure and indexing and understanding how all of these chains and protocols work that goes on behind the scenes. And that's the secret sauce of Pulsar, right? Like they obviously have an incredible sense of UX and UI and product design, and the product is beautiful, but the secret sauce is how do they get that data and how do they understand that data? And how do they store it and serve it up? And so I think wisely from their own perspective, once they figured it out for themselves, they understood that they could make it available to other people as a product. And so when I saw the Pulsar Data API product, I just felt like I needed to have it, and I wanted it for myself, and either to build it myself or to partner with them or to figure out some way that we could not only have it for building products within TFL, but also make it available so that partners of TFL, people who build on Terra, also get this advantage. And that so over time, the types of applications you see on Terra are just better than the applications you see everywhere else. And so there are a number of different ways. Anytime you're kind of like evaluating something like that, a gap in your product portfolio, you can. There's always a build, buy, or partner scenario. And I floated the buy, and it all worked out. And it's hard to get these kinds of deals done. But I said this in a tweet that I put out earlier. Usually, in my experience of doing a number of these deals on both sides, both being acquired and acquiring companies, the more diligence you do, the less bullish you become about the deal. So usually like the peak bullishness is, oh my God, they have this product. I need this product and I have to have it. And then you dig in and you find technical debt and things aren't as they seemed as you dig further and further. And man, I never had that moment with Pulsar. The more we dug in, the more bullish we got. Like even just in conversations with these guys, these founders, as I kind of talked about my vision for what these applications should look like in the future, and some of this we haven't even shared yet, they were nodding their heads and they were coming to me with ideas and I was nodding my head. And I think maybe because both of us have built applications in Web 2 before, we just are kind of on the same wavelength. And then the other component was like, so all of that was just out of the box. It was great. The more work I did, it was even better. And then as you guys, if you don't know these guys already, you'll get to know them more. They're just kind of Chad founders and they're Chad builders and they ship and they execute. And frankly, like I just spent at the beginning of this conversation talking about how much I love our team at TFL, but we have a founder gap. We have people who can execute, myself included, but we don't have a single person on the team who has founded and scaled a company. And without Doe, we needed a little bit. I believe that we needed some of that DNA within the company. And so to add three founders like that, it's just so bullish for us. It's so bullish. They're going to fill so many gaps within this company for our ecosystem that we're just not capable of doing with the set of experiences that we currently have within TFL. And so that's a long-winded way to say I'm really excited. And I'm so glad you guys decided to join us. And I can't wait for everyone here who doesn't know these guys to get to know them better.
Yeah, 100%. No, the Pulsar team is, they're absolute chads. And they're going to be, we're going to hopefully have them on for future Twitter spaces as well to talk to the community. And in a bit here, we'll have some time for the community, you know, you guys to ask some questions about the acquisition, about Pulsar, about kind of the future of Terra, you know, if anyone has any questions. But maybe before we get to some of those, maybe we can talk a little about, you know, in the near term, the products that you guys are going to be working on alongside our team at TFL now. Do you guys want to, maybe Eduardo, we want to start with Pulsar Data, talk a little about what you guys have built there and how that's going to work alongside Foundation.
Yeah, amazing. Myself being a developer and having all these hands-on work with all the challenges that we had the past 2 years, I'm really, really passionate about Pulsar Data, about the data or about Foundation, however we decide to call it. And I think Miguel can also speak very, very passionately about the work that is going to be going on Station. But let's start with Foundation. So right now, building in Web3, as Chris said, like it's a big, big challenge. Not only you have to deal with a completely, in a lot of the cases, completely different language, completely tailored to smart contracts. But even after that, like you have to deal with the RPCs, which simply you don't have to deal with in Web2, and you have all these complex data pipelines that you have to implement on your end, mostly because like the smart contracts can't really query historical data or aggregated data. When we say historical data, we are talking about like historical prices, historical volume, like all of this data is really, really complex to store on a blockchain and not at all optimized to be stored in a blockchain. So usually projects just build this data outside in a data pipeline. So it gets really, really complex to build a Web3 product because of these problems. And as you can see, data is all over the place. You have some platforms offering protocol data, like DeFi Llama. Some other platforms are better at offering like general blockchain data. Some other platforms are better at offering token prices. So like all of these projects are building data pipelines on their end individually, and they are all building this from scratch. There is no single SDK, no single infrastructure that they can use. That they can save time when they're building their solutions. What we want to do with Foundation is exactly this. We want to provide the building blocks so that the projects can get up and running. They can be developed faster and cheaper. They can go to market cheaper by using us. Obviously, we're going to be providing RPCs, and that's going to be a big part of the play. The second one will be data APIs. Just like other players are providing, we want to provide general data that is easily to digest with REST APIs that anyone can plug in and consume for prices, tokens, etc. But what we're really, really excited about are the indexers. So obviously for dApps and for projects that are being built right now, their biggest use case will be to recreate these data pipelines. So let's give an example of a DEX and AMM like Astroport. They will need to create, right now they are creating their data pipelines for prices, like historical prices, for the volume of their pools, like for all the existing pools, all the existing tokens. So this right now being created from scratch is like a very, very big overhead. They have to connect with each of the blockchains individually that they are going to be launching on. They have to create the coding. They have to decode the communication with the blockchain. They have to store their data on a particular database. Like they have all of these steps that consume a lot of time and energy from developers that will simply cease to exist. We'll provide them this SDK already completely optimized to query on-chain data and to create the data pipelines for whatever data they want. And the data will be fed directly to the dApp. In the future, what we want to create is like this data where the dApps are indexing the data that they need. And you have external aggregators like Dune, like Flipside Crypto, which also plug directly to the data that is being created by the dApps so that they can get more reliable data and they can get more extensive data about any protocol, any chain, any NFT, everything that is happening on chain will be accessible through this layer of the inside the data. And all in all, you'll have a unified API, which has always the same schema. So when you integrate this API, it will be out of the blue, you'll be integrating with all of the dApps that are of the same type. So you don't have to integrate each protocol individually. And all these data will be available on a single source to really speed up your development process for developers, for projects, for for analysts. It will be much better to fetch all this data.
Yeah, that's super exciting. I've learned a ton about Pulsar data over the last week or so talking with you guys and looking at some of the stuff that you guys have built, and I think it's going to work incredibly well alongside Foundation, what we're building there, and super excited to bring that to the Terra community. The other project that Pulsar is going to be working in the short term alongside TFL to bring to Terra's users is Station V3. So Miguel, do you want to talk a little bit about Pulsar dashboard or Pulsar portfolio and what's coming up there?
Yeah, for a long time, we at Pulsar faced this issue where we didn't know who's going to win the battle of the Web3 super app, if it was going to be a dashboard or wallets. And for a long time, we also wanted to build a cross-chain wallet because it was just better to do everything in one app when you also have the execution layer. And by having this acquisition happening and having one of the best dashboards merged with one of the best wallets in the space is just the best case scenario for us, for our team, for TFL to build the most amazing product to help everyone not only to own, see, but also transact with each other. The goal will be to put Station together with Pulsar dashboard and bring all the analytics that we have for your favorite wallets on all the chains that eventually Station will support. That's our end goal for this product, is to be like the portal to Web3, where you can do every single thing that you need from your mobile device. The consumers should have this type of experience when engaging with any protocol. They shouldn't go to you shouldn't have to go to your laptop and verify if the website is trustable or not, verify, do all these bridges, all these 15 steps that you have to do just to change from one chain or deposit in the other protocol. It should be easy, and it should be done by a simple UI, UX that you can really feel the seamless behavior without understanding what's going behind the scenes. That's the end goal here, is to create this crafted product for everyday users.
Yeah, no, that's, I'm super excited about that. I mean, I love Pulsar's dashboard, Pulsar portfolio product, and I think it's gonna make Station 10 times better. And like you said, Miguel, get it another step closer to being that interface to Web3 where you can do all these different things in one spot and make it super easy. Chris, I saw you unmuted there. Did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Yeah, I can just add a little bit about my vision for what Station will become. And I think, as much of a cliche as it is, Miguel kind of nailed it with Super App. And there are a lot of people trying to build. If you're in venture right now, you're seeing a lot of people trying to build the crypto Super App. And I think some of them might be good at wallets or okay at wallets, and some of them might be good at like the portfolio tracking, but very few of them are going to have the expertise that a combined Pulsar and Terra team have to pull it off. And, you know, I've talked about this a little bit. I talked about it at the Cosmoverse presentation. I still just kind of fundamentally believe that the trade-offs we're making on crypto applications between UX and decentralization are problematic. And what I mean by that is that we need to, as an industry, and Terra is going to do this, whether the industry does it or not, we need to draw a distinction between what is a decentralized protocol and what is a consumer application, right? And the only way we are going to get mass adoption is if we bring all of the conveniences of the types of applications people use in Web2 today and combine them with the pieces of Web3 that make their life better. And I don't know why more people aren't doing this. To me, it's just a massive market inefficiency. I suspect that a lot of people aren't making these trade-offs correctly because they have to try to be decentralized because they want to launch a token. And we don't have to worry about that, right? The community grant solved that for us. We don't ever need to launch a token again, unless it's just some kind of functional thing. But we have our token. Our token is Luna, and it was airdropped. And so we don't have to worry about that. And we don't have to like fake these weird trade-offs. And so I think what you're going to see out of both Station and Enterprise and the other types of apps that TFL builds are some different trade-offs. You might even see logins. Not logins that save your private keys, but logins that at least like save your settings so that if you have a new browser, you don't lose things. And so when you start thinking about what you can do with Station plus Pulsar plus memory, it starts to become incredibly powerful. And it starts to look a lot more like the types of applications that have hundreds of millions of users. And, you know, we think we can build these types of applications and help other people on Terra build these applications without sacrificing any of the decentralization that we value or that is real or that brings value to people's lives. And I'm really excited about that. I'm really, really excited to experiment. And you know, there are some trade-offs that we're going to experiment with and we'll just be wrong. And that's okay. But we are going to try to do something different. And, you know, I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to win by attacking those market inefficiencies. So Station is a place where you're going to see that. And some of the things that we want to implement are just going to make that mobile app part of your daily life. It's going to make it something you use every day. Right now, just to give everyone, give the real kind of like nerd lunatics use Station a lot, just to give you an update on Station V3, we are planning on having that out by the end of the year. The dashboarding and everything that's being built in that right now is building off of Pulsar data. So we'll have access to everything they have. The full integration of Pulsar into Station, we do not want to slow down V3. To accomplish that is a much larger, longer process, and we want to do it thoughtfully. We don't want to just kind of like jam it in. We need to think about what it means to combine wallets that you're using for tracking purposes with wallets that you're actually controlling with Station. You know, that's a longer term project. I don't even know when that full integration will take place, but we'll deliver a much improved, we'll deliver one of the best wallets in crypto by the end of the year, hands down the best wallet in Cosmos. And then over time, we'll take a really thoughtful approach about how to incorporate everything from Pulsar into Station. So a little more tactical information for those of you who follow very closely.
Awesome. Yeah, Pedro, anything that you wanted to add to anything that these guys have already mentioned?
Yeah, I guess I can give our side of why we decided to join Terra and why we thought this was the right move for us. So I think since we started building Pulsar, our biggest goal pretty much was making Web3 accessible to everyone, kind of like a hub. Which you could hang out, you could discover, you could learn about Web3. And we ended up finding, talking with Chris, that, well, this seemingly perfectly aligns with Terra. So not only Terra is right now focusing on a multi-chain world, like we are, but they also are building like Station to be the Web3 entry like for consumers. So I think long run, this perfectly aligned with our vision. And then on top of this, while building Pulsar, so this was kind of like our entry vision with Pulsar. And while doing Pulsar, we came across like a big problem, which we noticed everyone was having, which pretty much was accessing the blockchain data. And kind of having to build like a backend on top of this to serve some like unique data for their specific need. And I'm talking mostly about dApps. Any specific dApp that is here hearing, they probably know this issue. They probably had to hire two backend developers. They probably had to host a database. They had to add a running server who's like indexing some specific like data from their protocol, and then they were serving this to their users. So this is kind of mandatory for pretty much every dApp in the space. And so there's so much redundant work being done by everyone. And at some point we'll look at this and, well, this doesn't make sense, right? So, and we also looked at it in a way, well, we know how to fix this. We've been doing this on Pulsar. So, and talking with Chris, that's when we found out, well, it seems like they had the same waha moment, right? And they were planning on building what we are calling right now Foundation. So I guess like things for us, and as Chris said, for them as well, it just perfectly aligned together. And that's why we ended up being acquired, and now we're going to work together.
Yeah, I feel one of the really strong points of Terra from the start was always the user experience. Like everybody boasted about like the user experience. Everything was so easy on Terra, whereas in EVM, Solana, like it was very, very crappy at the time. So I feel both Station and Foundation are a breakthrough. You're going to be focused a breakthrough in user experience. Station in terms of retail, in terms of end users, and Foundation for the developers. But it's in a way still a play to improve user experiences in Web3, and I really like that.
Yeah, no, I think that's critical. I think, you know, right now, most of the users on the internet are still in Web2, and we need to bring them over to Web3. And we want Terra to be, you know, where they're using applications and where they're learning about Web3. And so Station can end up being that platform where users are using every day, like you guys said, on their phone, on their computer, making it super easy for them to interact with these different applications and find value from them. With that, I think, you know, we've covered most of what I wanted to cover today. Is there anything that you guys wanted to cover that I missed before we jump into maybe some community questions?
Yeah, one more thing I just want to make like incredibly clear. This is not just for TFL. This is for the entire ecosystem. So everyone who builds on Terra will have access to the Pulsar Data API. We want you to be successful as well. And it, not only that, it's the foundation, it's the free infrastructure. I know of teams that are spending close to $1 million a year on this. And even then, they have to put a ton of work into it, like the redundancies that Pedro was talking about. this, you know, this will be a revenue driver outside of our ecosystem, but inside of our ecosystem, you have everything we have. And we want to make your life easier. We want to make it easier for you to build. And to, you know, even beyond that, like it just, if the vision resonates with of building apps that cross over, we have an unlimited roadmap of things we want to build. Sometimes I think the builders and crypto are just clueless. Everyone's making like minor iterations on the same thing. And there are hundreds of ideas just out there waiting to be tackled. And we've got a lot of them. So if you're a builder, you want the cheapest, easiest place to build best in class applications. And you want to work with myself and Miguel and Eduardo and Pedro and Javier and our world-class team, come talk to us. We can make this a special place for you. All right, I'm done. That's my sales pitch.
No, that's great. Yeah, if anyone has any questions now for either the Pulsar team or Chris about the acquisition, feel free to just request to speak and we'll bring you up. Or you could also post a question in the replies for the tweet for the space. And then we'll take a look at those. There's also one last thing, you know, after we get to some questions that I'll have Chris talk about as well, which is also a very exciting new development for the Terra ecosystem that we'll probably have a dedicated space for, you know, maybe this week. We'll see if we can find some time for that. Before we do that, why don't we bring up the first guest here, see if they have a question. All right, Lion King, how you doing? You have a question? You're on mute if you're trying to talk. Okay. All right, we might not. we'll get to another one. Doesn't seem like the mic is working there. Let's see. Any questions in the replies for the tweet? All right, let's see. All right, we got Koo coming up here. Hey, Koo, can you hear us? You have a question?
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Do you have a question?
Yeah. Have you guys have any plan for the Lunacy and USDC?
Oh, we're just here to talk about the Pulsar acquisition. We're not going to be talking about Terra Classic or Luna Classic or anything like that.
All right.
Do you have a question about the acquisition?
No. Good luck.
Okay. Thanks.
I will say that for Terra Classic, you know, the services that Foundation provides are available to any chain. And so, you know, we've had conversations with representatives of Terra Classic and, you know, would love to find some kind of economic arrangement that'll make these services available to them.
Cool. Let's see if there's any other questions here in the replies. Otherwise, I think we could transition to the other big announcement. I don't see any in the replies. So, Chris, do you want to talk a little bit about our other big announcement? We're going to be putting out some. We'll publish some on this as well. But I think this will be the first time we're kind of announcing this publicly.
Yeah, sure. So, wait, am I off mute? Yeah, I'm off
mute.
So, where to start on this? You know, when we applied for the community grant, we had a bucket in there that was dedicated to providing liquidity on the Terra chain. We talked about in that grant proposal the cold start problem. You know, Terra through the bear market, we just kind of lost all of our momentum, and it's hard to restart things without a little push. And we needed to figure out some way to get a push. And I think a lot of people who have listened to me over the last year know that I'm not a huge fan of incentives, or at least incentives as they've been designed in Web3. Typically, you know, paying people to launch on your chain or just paying people to use protocols is not effective, but or it can be effective, but it needs to be really tightly managed and all of that stuff. And so I was kind of opposed to just like dumping TFL treasury into paying people to use our chain. One of the other things that's just kind of known now is that when you stop paying people to use your chain, they stop using your chain. And that's why you see a lot in crypto. You see so many narratives float around, right? Like we've just even in the last year, how many like Index and chains and Cosmos were the thing, and people cycle to those, and then the incentives run out, and people cycle to the next place. And you know, Terra's going to be here for 10, 15, 20 years longer, hopefully, and we don't need to play those games. But the reality is we have a treasury, and that treasury is not providing any value for the ecosystem by sitting in Bitcoin. And there's an opportunity to bring it to Terra and to at least provide liquidity, kind of like no direct cost, right? Just the opportunity cost of what that treasury would have been doing before. And the community was generous enough to also grant Luna tokens that we could pair up and to start building liquidity for. And so we had to be a little coy through the community grant process about what our plans were, partially just from like strategic perspective. We didn't want people to know what we were going to do because we found, you know, we saw an opportunity that we wanted to take advantage of. And so if you've been tracking the chain over the last, you know, a couple of days, you'll see that we've started to deploy capital in the way that we promised we would. And we're doing it at massive scale. And we're doing it with blue chip assets. And the idea behind this is that there are kind of a lot of chains in Cosmos that have Cosmos tokens on them. And I don't really know how to compete in that space. And I don't know which of those assets are worth competing for. But historically, one of the reasons I joined Terra was, or joined TFL and got involved with Terra, was that it kind of played, it was always meant to play at like the highest level and among the most blue chip assets in the space. And we want to continue that. And so what you're going to see over the next few days is all of the blue chip assets that exist in crypto bridged over to Terra with ample liquidity for you to trade those tokens, for you to acquire those tokens, and for you or anyone else to start building DeFi applications leveraging that liquidity. And, you know, that's something that just doesn't exist in Cosmos right now. And so we're excited to bring that to bear. You can go look right now. We have the largest pool for WBTC in the Cosmos ecosystem. We have the largest pool for Luna, obviously. We have the largest pool for WETH. We're creating pools for Polygon, Arbitrum, Solana, BNB, all of the blue chip names that you know and that people all over crypto will recognize. Their home will be on Terra. We will own that liquidity. We will own those routes as the routers decide where to route transactions. And, you know, if you want to build DeFi applications with blue chip assets in Cosmos and using Cosmos SDK, we're going to be the place where you can do it. So really excited about what's happening there. This is us delivering on a promise we made when we went for that community grant. And the possibilities are frankly endless from here, I think, in terms of like sparking DeFi on Terra again. So we're already working with some projects to take advantage of all of this. But again, I'll do one more sales pitch. If you want to build DeFi applications that will be used broadly, that will be used outside of just the Cosmos ecosystem, but you want to do it in this space that can take advantage of IBC and all the abstraction that's coming to Cosmos, Terra's a place to do it. And we can help you with that. So get in touch. More to come over the next couple of days, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, this is it's a really exciting new development for the Terra ecosystem. Tons of liquidity coming into the ecosystem, tons of opportunity for builders to build on top of that liquidity. Obviously, it's a huge benefit to Terra's users, you know, being able to acquire these assets natively on Terra. I think it's going to be huge for the entire ecosystem. And it's this is actually one of the reasons why I was super excited for this space today, because I didn't know if we were going to be dropping this alpha, but I, you know, Ryan and some other people in the community already already saw the wallets doing some having some movement on chain. So it was kind of an inevitability that we had to talk about it. But yeah, in that case, I think Pulsar team, is there anything that you guys wanted to close on in this space before we close the space out?
Yeah, I just want to say that with this, Terra becomes such an amazing hub to build on. You have liquidity. You have some of the best tooling coming in with Foundation, Enterprise, Pulsar Data. You have a class portfolio manager, a class portfolio manager together with an amazing wallet. So your users can also use your application together with everything that you have. We have the full vertical. So for anyone who wants to build, like Chris just mentioned, you're welcome to join. We're going to give you all the tools that you need to build on top. And if you have any questions, if you want any input, if you want to give any feedback on any product whatsoever, just outreach us. It's going to be a long integration process, I would say, but the visions are really aligned. And I'm so glad to be here together with all the founders and the team.
Yeah, I would also like to say congratulations to Chris for doing the amazing job that he's been doing as CEO. It was a very difficult timing, I'm sure, with everything that happened on Terra and Doe leaving. So I'm pretty impressed with what has been done so far. I think he's been doing an incredible job, and I'm really excited to see what's to come.
Well, if you guys say everything there's to say, the only thing I have to say is that I subscribe to whatever you said. So thank you, guys.
Let's get it.
Let's get it. Yeah, thanks for joining us, Pulsar guys. This has been fantastic. Thank you all the lunatics that dropped by and listened in live. We recorded this, so we'll share it. You know, obviously people can listen back to this if there's anything that they missed. I encourage you to listen to the beginning. If you didn't hear Chris's intro, sharing some of his thoughts, and then we dive into the Pulsar acquisition, talk about the products that they're going to be working on, Station, Foundation. Obviously, there's going to be future collaborations as well. And then talk a little about at the end, you know, the liquidity injection that TFL is putting into the Terra ecosystem to make this a fertile breeding ground for new applications, as well as a great place to engage in the DeFi ecosystem. So with that, we'll close this thing out, and we might do a space, like I said, just dedicated to the liquidity announcement, so we can talk about that and maybe brainstorm some different ideas with the community. But Chris, is there anything you wanted to close out on? Otherwise, we can call it.
Yeah, normally I would have some kind of like wrapping statement here, but I think it's just more alpha to drop. If you haven't noticed yet, a new DEX is launching on Terra, URA, URA.xyz. They're going to be community focused. A vast majority of their tokens are going to go to people who participate in the product. They're using the Velodrome model, which will allow for very flexible governance and a lot of interesting tokenomics. Go check out their website. Liquidity is inbound to them as we speak as well. And so we've got more than one option. We're gonna open it up. We're going to let people compete. We're excited to have them launching on Terra. And you know, like Zion said, this call was mostly, or this space was mostly about Pulsar, but you know, I think we'll have a lot to talk about in terms of the liquidity that's coming in and the partners we're going to be working with on that soon. Thanks everyone for joining. Things are turning up. The future looks bright. Everyone, thanks for being part of it with us.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works, and we'll see what other kinds of trash is under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play, ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Motherfuckers walking around here looking faceless, trying to make a living selling friendship bracelets. Dead ends dragging out the max amount of payments, spread down days. days, got them acting all bankless. Yo fam, what? Check these tokenomics. They probing this bear, flexing broken honest. I had to lay my soul down, I'm just roasting otters. And then to end a long day, 11 bowls of chronic. Never known the politic, I was born to frolic. It's been my policy to pollinate all over the plot. We got a lot of apologists jumping in at the top. We like to measure their velocity before they hit rock bottom. Over impossible loss, it's all moss. And I'm liking the odds, fondue in the morning, forming mycological bonds. Click the cap, yo, the road is highly involved. Flip a coin, diary fall. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the burbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served. Trying to figure out the max amount of dinner lay stacked and non-toxic, just to get a better place. Smacking on the hostage like the shit is play for keeps. Clowns, white knight, and all these Maybellines. They call it implausible when model after model keeps on ripping off the coat and going full throttle. Eats, tearing apart your community. All these low-hanging fruits bearing zero liquidity. Got a planet in reach, coming standard to each. I'm on the back 10, stargazing after the siege. Commanding all the management to grab a few seats. And then we'll round up the beasts and send a messenger east. Y'all better sign a release when I'm bumping these beats. Hands up if I got motherfuckers drumming the streets. Yo, we got a few dubs, we got a couple defeats. And if you're coming for the king, you better have some of each. Motherfuckers screaming out loud, looking for mercy, before they find themselves working a corner down in Jersey. What could be worse? Misrepresenting the first come, first serve mentality, stuck in the verbs. I'll be numbing up first before discovering what works. And we'll see what other kinds of treasures under the dirt. We rape and plunder the earth, sit and wonder about the worth and play. Ring around the rosy while the thunder is served.
Terror Spaces.